Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind, the Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Leonard Perlmutter. Leonard is the author of Your Conscience, The Key to Unlock Limitless Wisdom and Creativity and Solve All of Life Challenges. Welcome, Leonard.
Thank you very much. It's a real honor. Thank you, Myrna.
You're very welcome. And Leonard and I are going to be talking on the topic today, how meditation can improve your ability to trust your conscience. All right. So I was telling Leonard before we started, I talk a lot about meditation on the show, but I've never actually spoken about conscience. So I'm expecting this to be a great conversation, and I hope that I will learn as much as you. So let me give you a little bit more information on Leonard. Leonard Perlmutter is the founder and director of the American Meditation Institute in Avril Park, New York, and the originator of National Conscience Month. He studied under Swami Rama of the Himalayas, whose lab studies at the Menninger Institute demonstrated that blood pressure, heart rate, and the autonomic nervous system can be voluntarily controlled. These findings have become a cornerstone of the modern mind-body movement. His recently released book, Your Conscience, The Key to Unlock Limitless Wisdom and Creativity and Solve All of Life Challenges, is a simple, logical introduction to how your mind works and the perfect entry point for anyone who wants to live a more fulfilling life simply by learning to depend on their conscience. Looking outside ourselves for happiness is a useless pursuit, but where we can find the wisdom we need to guide us through the trials in our lives. Leonard believes that we can receive all the guidance we need by just trusting our conscience. Yes, yes, yes. Awesome. Now, I think I'm almost sure that we're going to broaden my limited knowledge of the conscience, because, you know, we always feel that, you know, the conscience is something that we were born with, and it kind of directs us between right and wrong. But I know that we're going to deepen our our knowledge of what real conscience is. So, Leonard, as we start off, tell me, how did you develop your conscience? What was your personal journey or your personal story?
My personal story, I guess, began when I was quite young, a little child. Mm. And it seemed that two principles guided my life at that time and through today. The first principle was, I've always looked at life from a philosophical viewpoint. It's just the way I saw the world immediately, philosophically. And the second principle that has directed me has been practicality. Mm-hmm. I'm a practical fellow.
Okay.
And even a philosophy of life must have practical applications to make life rewarding and to take away the pain and the misery and the bondage that are seem in this time in our world to be a pandemic of its own.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what was your story? So you were very philosophical and practical from a young age, but I know you're obviously wired that way, but what led you, or what story or what events or circumstances led you down this path?
Well, first of all, when I got a little older, I joined the Scouts, and I really enjoyed the Scouts because they taught practical tools for life. In fact, the motto was be prepared.
Right, right.
And I once asked my Scoutmaster, since the Scout motto is be prepared, what should we be prepared for? And he looked at me with a strange look and he said, how would I know? And that's right. How would we guess about COVID? How would we guess about the political situation in which we find ourselves today?
Yeah.
It's like a bad movie. So those skills were something that I was looking for in life so that I could take actions in the world that brought about consequences in which I experienced health, happiness, and security, which I think are three desires for every human being. And so one of the first experiences with pain that I had was physical. Since an early childhood, I had an allergic reaction, so to speak, to the standard American diet. Everybody I knew, mom, dad, sister, cousins, friends, they seemed to do real well with that standard American diet, but I would always have belly aches, and it was painful. And so it wasn't until I left the house and I began making choices based on my own inner wisdom. And I didn't even know what that meant at the time, but it was just an intuitive sense. And then I would experiment with food. Even back then, when I was 18, 19 years old, out of the house for the first time, and I felt better. I felt better physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And that led me to study of philosophies which are known as the perennial philosophies. And so that led me eventually not only the study of Judaism and Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and Native American traditions, but it also brought me to the science of yoga. And at that moment, as I began reading commentaries on yoga science, I felt like I was back in Scouts, because yoga science is so practical and down to earth that, and it provides us a framework for making experiments to find the truth for ourselves. And that is what led me to an understanding of the mind and the four functions of the mind.
Okay.
One of which is the conscience.
All right. So we're getting deep here already. All right. Yes. So I like your backdoor approach, or what happened. You know, you started off by being a health issue. You had belly aches. Yeah. I remember, you know, kids that would have belly aches from the food. You're right. In those days, you know, nobody did anything about it. Now you will probably recognize that there's, you know, something wrong, and just not let the kid have a bellyache. But yeah, I, you know, not anyone in my home, but I know children that would get bellyaches from eating. All right. So that was your, that was your approach, or your ramp up into understanding the mind. So yes, you know, as we are going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about how meditation can improve your ability to trust your conscience. So, so meditation opened the door for you to understand the mind. And I love the mind. You know, I am on this show, and the mind is such a powerful thing. And I work with my mind all the time, even though, you know, I'm hosting the show. I personally work with the mind. So what kind of problems do you think can be solved by relying on your conscience?
There's not one problem that cannot be solved. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, there are no problems. There are only situations. Mm-hmm. So for me, even the word problem is a problem. I'm serious now, because language can trigger us. Language, just words can trigger us, and they carry a heavy weight from the culture. So if we bring the word problem into our heart and just feel the weight of it, problem, 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 I have a problem. Oh, it's very heavy, it's very dark, and it seems to cover my creative capacity. I become intimidated, I become fearful, and I worry, which even accelerates the denigration of my creative capacity. So I don't use that word anymore, Myrna. What I do, I substitute a synonym. I say, I don't have problems, but I have situations. So if you bring the word situation into your heart and just listen with your eyes closed, situation, 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 it's much lighter. It's not that I'm not going to have to work at resolving the situation, but I'm a creative fellow. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to tackle that. So I'm much more optimistic and creative. So that's the first kind of problem. I'm always watching words that seem to have an emotional trigger.
I even like your word situation, because, you know, I've learned to change the word problem to challenges, but challenges is also still weightier than situation, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. For me, it is. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, so it's so interesting, because problems, however we define that, always starts in the mind. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? If there's conflict in our minds, there always has to be conflict outside our minds. Mm-hmm. And that would be first and foremost in the body, but then interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. So working backwards from the problem, which is outside of us. Mm-hmm. If I have a problem with you, the problem is not with you. It's what I think about you. My mind creates an eclipse of my awareness, and I cannot really see you. I just see what's in my unconscious mind. I see through those lenses. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I'm intimidated with you. Maybe I understand that you're a podcast personality, and you have a following, and oh my gosh, I'm intimidated by her. So when I talk to Myrna, mm-hmm. I'm not really able to have a conversation with her until I deal with the fear and the worry that is in my mind.
It's very mm-hmm. true. You almost, when you were talking, it reminded me of Buddha's statement that says suffering is all in the mind.
Well, I believe that suffering is a choice.
Yes.
We all have pain. We all have pain, but suffering is a choice.
Right. That's right. Suffering is on the mind. Right. That's great. Hair care is more than just styling. A daily hair and scalp care regimen can make a huge difference. Whey's new scalp serum and thick and full supplements are a complete solution for promoting the appearance of thicker, fuller, healthier hair. I started using Whey thick and full supplements and scalp serum about 4 weeks ago. I used the serum on some balding spots left from hair weaving, and immediately those spots became thicker and my hair started growing back. Whey thick and full supplements is a vegan one-a-day supplement with zero flavor that supports thicker, fuller, healthier hair. It contains skin-inspired ingredients such as hyaluronic acid and adaptogens that promote thicker, fuller hair. Grow all the way with Whey's scalp serum and thick and full supplements. Go to thewhey.com and use coupon code Myrna to get 15% off your entire purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at theouai.com and use code MYRNA. Our next partner is Thrive Cosmetics. The cause is in the name for a reason. Every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. I personally love Thrive Cosmetics Lip Filler and Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I love the lip filler because my lips are constantly dry, and the lip filler keeps my lips hydrated with vitamins so they look supple and nice. This leave-on lip serum treatment nourishes and restores dull, dehydrated lips. The Liquid Lash Extension Mascara is amazing. Ladies, you know that after using lashes, the glue takes off most of your natural lashes, but Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions make your natural lashes look fuller and longer. It mimics the look of lash extensions. Now is a great time to Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/transform. Our mission is bigger than beauty. For every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to women to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. That website again is thrivecosmetics.com/transform. So let's touch on this word conscience then. Okay. So you just explain how conscience and the mind works. And even you said that all problems or situations can be solved by relying on our conscience, but let's dive into this conscience so that we can put some context to our conversation.
Sure. First and foremost, the conscience is one of the four functions of the mind. Since early childhood, I'm sure that many of us had the experience, I know I did, that it always seemed that there were different voices in our mind. And as it turns out, there are four of them.
Okay.
There is the ego, the senses, the unconscious mind, and the conscience. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, and this was a game changer for me when I learned it, quite shocking, was that every single choice that I have ever made in my life, in fact, any human being has made in their life, and every single choice that we will ever make has been and always will be made by the conscience. Why? Because the conscience is the only function of the mind that can make a decision. The other three functions of the mind, that would be the ego, the senses, and the unconscious mind, cannot make a choice. They only act as advisors. And as advisors, they work all the time in a very determined way to see that their limited perspective is accepted as the ultimate choice. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? The ego senses an unconscious mind. These advisors, these lobbyists in our mind, they're loud, they're pushy. Mm-hmm. They're often wrong, but they're never in doubt. Mm-hmm. But the conscience has the ability alone to make the choice. Now,
so if let me ask you a question right there.
Go ahead.
How do we get this conscience? Because I understand our conscience was put by God to steer us between right and wrong. But tell me, you know, is your conscience built up after you're born, or
it's part of the hardware. It's the part of the hardware of the mind, just like the senses are.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, interestingly, the conscience, which can make a choice, mm-hmm. it itself can make two kinds of choices. Mm-hmm. The first kind of choice occurs when the ego senses and unconscious mind are so unruly as they are with most people today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If the ego senses and unconscious mind are creating a tremendous amount of noise in our mind, lobbying for their limited perspectives, mm-hmm. then the only way that the conscience can make a choice is simply to rubber stamp the loudest voice it can hear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that sometimes is okay. We, you know, the ego, the senses, and the unconscious mind are not always wrong. I need a healthy ego. You need a healthy ego to have this conversation right now and make sense of it. Mm-hmm. To drive an automobile or a truck, we need a healthy ego to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. And sense gratification, I love a delicious meal just like everybody else, and I have a body, so why shouldn't I? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times the limited perspective of the ego, senses, and even the unconscious mind, our habit patterns, are faulty. And if they're loud and pushy, the ego senses an unconscious mind, always worried that a saber-toothed tiger is going to come around the next corner and that we have to fear for our lives, then the conscience will simply rubber stamp the loudest voice.
So the way I have always been introduced to the conscience is that the conscience, if you make this, let's say, okay, so If you rubber stamp the loudest voice in our mind, so the loudest voice is saying, hey, you know what? Maybe I should steal, mm-hmm. you know, something, right?
Yeah, maybe I should have a second piece of apple pie.
Right, exactly. All right, you know, you're going safer. A second piece of apple pie, right. Well, you know, that's not so much your conscience. That's just guilt. But let's say that we want to steal something and you steal it, and then your conscience is bothering you because you know you shouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but what you're saying is that you took it because the ego, maybe, let's choose that one.
That's right.
Is the one that's telling you that you deserve it or something. Uh-huh. And because that was the lowest noise. Okay.
That's right. However, if we can learn, which we can, to teach and parent the ego, senses, and unconscious mind to share their limited perspectives, and when each of these three functions of the mind, these advisors, after they finish presenting their perspective, to sit down and be quiet.
Okay.
when the mind becomes quiet, the conscience can make another kind of choice. It can now, in this silence of the mind, the conscience can hear another voice coming from the super conscious portion of the mind.
Right.
And I can reflect that super conscious wisdom right. into our conscious mind. And that will tell the conscience to advise us, this is the thought to think, this is the word to speak, this is the action to take now at this point in space and time, and it will lead you for your highest and greatest good.
Right. Well, that's perfect, because somewhere along the line, I heard that we had five voices in our head, but I've never had anybody actually identify those voices. We just know that we have these voices. But that's good. One of the things I want to circle back to was what you're saying about meditation, because this is where the meditation link comes in.
Absolutely.
Because when you sit still and be quiet during meditation, then you're connecting to source, then you're connecting to your higher self, then you're able to get instructions from your higher self. But normally, I guess when you're making a decision, a lot of times you're right, you just rubber stamp the highest noise. You know,
there's another ingredient here. And that is the speed of our culture. We are going so fast.
Right.
We do not have time
to sit, right.
to sit quietly. Mm-hmm. Right. So that the conscience can hear the super conscious wisdom and share it with us. We have to make a decision now. If it feels good, the advertisements say, just do it.
Yes.
Very familiar territory for all of us.
Yes, just do it. Yes, but I like that, you know? Listen, like I talk a lot about meditation on the show, and I'm just reading a meditation book right now, and it's telling you that when you sit quietly, what basically happens is things starts to bubble up that you have pushed down. And once it bubbles up, that means there's something that you need to take care of. So now I'm hearing another reason to sit still is so that you can solve problems, because when you sit still, your conscience gets to talk to you. So listen, there are probably hundreds and hundreds of benefits of meditation. But
there's more. There's more. There, that one-pointed attention, by training the mind to be one-pointed either on a mantra or the breath in meditation, automatically creates a space between stimulus and response. That means that I am cultivating the skill of being detached. What does that mean? Just because a thought comes into my awareness, suggesting the desire for the second slice of apple pie. When I create a space between that stimulus of that second piece of apple pie and my ultimate decision, that space provides me what? Freedom to redirect my attention to the conscience, which can then reflect super conscious wisdom to tell me how my relationship should proceed with this desire for a second slice of apple pie. So in meditation, that one-pointed attention creates a space between stimulus and response that provides me the freedom to check with my conscience. And the more that I do that, I not only create a large resource of creativity coming from the conscience to solve all sorts of situations, but I also am continuously building the muscles of willpower to do what's to be done when it's to be done, and not to do what is not to be done when it is not to be done.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, right now I'm sitting and concentrating on the, my meditation object is my breath. So yes, I'm working on that.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
It is work. It is, but we work at making ourselves miserable also.
Yes. So I'm gonna get the benefits of all that. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Yes. All right. So basically, how can we reap instant benefits from employing our conscience in every decision that we make?
We need to experiment.
Okay.
And that brings up a very important point, has to do with the law of karma. That simply means that thoughts lead to action, and action always leads to consequence. Well, as we mentioned a few moments ago, most of us feel that the consequence that we want to experience in every relationship is happiness and security and good health in body and mind. So the question is, do we have a business plan for that? So I call it the bridge of yoga. The bridge of yoga is a philosophical and a scientific bridge that encourages us 24/7 to base our outer actions, thoughts, words, and deeds on the super conscious wisdom that is within us, that is us at the core of our being. And the more that I can employ that bridge of yoga, and we can call it anything, we can call it the bridge of Christianity, the bridge of Judaism, the bridge of Islam. You see, you can come up with your own name. But the point is, the more that we base our outer actions on the wise, good counsel of the conscience, we are continuously enabled uniquely to fulfill the purpose of life without pain, misery, or bondage.
Yeah, I'm reading Sadhguru's book right now, Karma. And again, just like you're expanding my knowledge and on the conscience here, because I had a limited belief in the conscience is just, making decisions, right? So now you've expanded it. The same way he expanded my knowledge of karma, because we always think that, yeah, your karma is, you do good, you sow what you sow, you reap kind of thing. And he expanded it being on memory and a whole bunch of things. It's a very deep book, but I see basically where you're making the connection here to your thoughts and your actions to your conscience and how that you're calling it the bridge. Because how do we know what's right and wrong? We know what's right and wrong for what they teach us in Sunday school, or they teach us in religion, right? Or they teach us from the Ten Commandments, or like you've said, you've studied all the religions. You've studied Hindu and Buddhism and Christianity and everything. I'm a Christian, so I know about the Ten Commandments, and I know what this thou shalt not. And when you do any of the things that thou shalt not, then you have a conscience and you feel badly about it. But I'm pretty sure that they've got, their things that they shouldn't do. And that's basically right. So yeah, and yeah, your thoughts is something that one of the things I learned about the karma is because it's not just doing, it's not just sowing and reaping, it's your thoughts as well.
And all of the sowing and reaping begins with our thoughts.
What's your thoughts?
I can't even raise my hand without first entertaining a thought. The mind moves first, the body just follows. So if we want the body to take an action to bring about a consequence that will bring me happiness, health, and security, I better examine my thoughts,
Thoughts,
because
yes.
not every thought is going to bring me happiness, or bring me security, or bring me health. But the conscience, if I counsel with the conscience, and I can quiet the ego, senses, and unconscious mind after they make the presentation of their limited perspectives, mm-hmm. the conscience will tell me what's to be done and what's not to be done. See, I'm of the persuasion there is no right and there is no wrong. All there is what's to be done and what's not to be done now.
Okay, all right. So what happens, a thought just popped into my mind. So a couple of things. One, I want to, you know, to mention the fact that we have 60,000 thoughts mm-hmm. every day, and most of us can't control them. They just come. That's right. So if our thoughts are, you know, leading us down our karmic path, and our thoughts are leading us to making these decisions as far as conscience, and we're not controlling them, they're just coming, then, you know, we have a problem or a situation. Sorry, let me change that. But the other thing I just thought of is what happens when the superconscious tells you that you should go right and you purposely go left. What happens there?
Well, you know what happens when we're driving and we don't know, we've never been to that address before. Mm-hmm. And so we now have the technology that's called GPS. So mm-hmm. we put in the address and a mm-hmm. voice comes on and tells us take a right here, take a left here. But if we make a mistake in our driving, and instead of turning to the right, as GPS is instructed, we turn to the left. What do we hear from GPS?
Recalculating.
Recalibrating. That's right. That's right. Well, we can do that because we have free will, you see. Okay. Mm-hmm. But how much pain do we have to experience
before we recalibrate?
And until we get the message that it's a lot safer, it's a lot saner, we will get to our destination a lot less injured if we can simply listen to our conscience.
That's a good one.
It's not a problem that I make a left instead of a right. I can learn from that. One of my greatest teachers was Thomas Edison, who claimed that he never failed at anything. He always considered everything that didn't work as a stepping stool for him.
Okay. Or a lesson.
Not a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes.
That's why I tell people that one of my most important teachers has been Elvis Presley.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Let's explore that one. Well, what did he teach you? What not to do?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because when I was 10 years old, I fell in love with this fella named Elvis Presley. I loved his music. I gave all that attention to this personality. He had charisma for me. Mm-hmm. And I was locked on to that. And because I had one-pointed attention and observed him all those years, I was able to see choices that he made that often were in conflict with my own inner wisdom. Mm. So he did teach me in many respects how not to live my life. And I am very grateful for that teaching. But what do we do with these teachers that come to us that try to teach us what not to do? Oh, we criticize them. Oh, they're no good. We have all sorts of bad names for them. You mm-hmm. see, but they are trying their very best to model for us
what not to do.
So instead of saying, oh, thank you very much for that teaching, and I'm not going to drive my automobile over this cliff like you are doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, it's terrible because not a lot of people look at it like you do. A lot of people would drive their automobile off the cliff because someone that they love and idolize is driving their, they, you know, that's why they're saying that you know, you can influence a lot of the, especially at 10 years old, you know, you're very influential and you will follow and do bad things because someone that you idolize is doing it. Not very many people, you know, sit back and say, you know what, this is a model that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go there. You know, my husband talks all the time because he grew up in the hood, and he grew up in the area where everybody was selling drugs and everybody was, you know, whatever. And he chose. He says, no, you know, and then he says, you know, they're all dead now and they're all in jail or whatever. But I chose not to do that because he said his father was in his ear. His father was his conscience. And but everybody in the whatever went after that fast money, went after, made that choice. You know what I mean? And obviously quieted their conscience because everybody knew it was a wrong.
Okay, so now we're coming up to something major. Okay. And that is the crisis that we are experiencing individually and collectively in our world, in our culture, in our nation, is a crisis in education. It is a crisis in education. Those kids growing up in the hood or wherever,
right,
who are influenced by this celebrity culture, this glamorous culture,
right,
have never been taught how to use their minds. They have only, like I have only been taught up until I left school and started on my own exploration, but through all school, all grades, the only thing that I was taught to do was to memorize, just memorize, you see. Yeah. And
it's true.
That's not good enough because it does nothing for training the ego senses and unconscious mind. And advertising today and the media and the internet, the children and people of all children of all ages have so many different repetitions of these messages.
Yes.
Do it.
And they want it. Do it. Yep.
That's right. So then they want it. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And the mind is not trained. The ego says, yeah. The senses say, yeah. The unconscious mind says, I'm with you guys. And they make all that loud noise in the mind, and the conscience just says, okay, I'm rubber stamping all these loud voices. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that's basically what happened. So yeah, so this is great. All right. So tell us about your book, Your Conscience, The Key to Unlock Limitless Wisdom and Creativity and Solve All of Life Challenges. So you use that word challenges, which is what I substitute for problems, right? So why did you write it? And what do you want readers to walk away with after reading it?
Well, I wrote it during the first months of COVID. I was in quarantine. I'm a teacher. I had people coming to the American Meditation Institute where I teach. But they weren't coming because everybody was in quarantine at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so how am I going to reach people? What do I have that I can give them? Mm-hmm. Because I look around, I watch TV, I read, I scan the internet, and oh my gosh, and you know as well as I do, you've lived through it, and you can see clearly, people are in tremendous amount of pain.
Yes.
And why? They don't have the tools. This goes back to scouting. They don't have the tools to be prepared for whatever life can throw them. What can I give them? I asked myself.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the most important thing I can give them is an understanding of the functions of the mind and how to coordinate them to serve the conscience.
Okay.
And so that's why I wrote the book.
So that's good. So,
and what do I want from people?
Right. What do you want them to walk away with? Okay.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that I would like them to walk away with is not to believe me. I don't want anyone who can hear this to believe a word I am saying, but I would appreciate it, and I will support you if this is true, if you're interested and willing to experiment with your own conscience in all sorts of situations, but make sure that they're all easy at first. You don't want to just pick up 200 pounds thinking that you're going to build muscles when you've never done any kind of exercise before.
Right.
That would hurt you. Start with 1 or 2 pounds and then 3 or 4 and then 5 and 10 pounds. And within a short time, you'll be building some muscles without injuring yourself. So if you're interested at all, turn your entire life into a laboratory to experiment with your own conscience and see what happens. Train and love and parent your ego, senses, and unconscious mind to.
And how did they do that? We didn't talk about some exercises. You want to tell us some exercises that we can do to do that?
Sure. Okay, well, let's just say we finish dinner. Then the question becomes, are we going to brush our teeth? Or are we not going to brush our teeth? Mm-hmm. So what do I do? In a situation like that, I call a family meeting of the mind. I bring the ego, the senses, the unconscious mind, and the conscience all together with me, the parent, around the kitchen table. And we have a conversation. And I explain, we just finished dinner, as we all know. Are we going to brush the teeth or are we not going to brush the teeth? First, I'd like to call on the ego. What do you think? I'm against it, the ego says. You know, we always have a little more afterwards. And so any kind of change, I'm threatened by. My control is threatened. I talking from the ego's perspective, I consider any change a death, the end of my control. So I'm against it. I said, okay, well then, thank you very much, and please sit down. And senses, what do you say? And senses say, well, I'll tell you the truth. I have to vote with the ego, because not for the same reasons, of course. I myself want that second piece of apple pie. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, senses, and please sit down. Unconscious mind, what do you say? What's your perspective? And the unconscious mind might say, well, it's my habit to have that second piece of apple pie and not to brush the teeth. That's my habit. So I vote with the ego and the senses. Okay, say, okay, thank you. Now, please sit down and be quiet. Let's create a quiet environment, and I'm going to call on the conscience. Conscience, could you please, for us, reflect superconscious wisdom and share that wisdom with us now? We'll all be quiet. Go ahead. And what does the conscience say? Well, the conscience says something like, we all know that this life that we're living is not a marathon. It's a sprint. It's more like a marathon. And for a marathon, we need healthy gums and healthy teeth. We need a healthy immune system. And so if we can just take a time out for 2 minutes and brush the teeth, that will help us have healthy gums and healthy teeth and a healthy immune system. So let's go into the bathroom, wash the teeth, brush the teeth just for 2 minutes. Then we'll come back and we'll ask everybody, what did you experience? And so that's what we do. We do a little experiment. It's pretty easy. We brush the teeth, we come back, and then I, as the parent again, ask the ego, what did you experience? And what does the ego say? Well, you know, it wasn't so bad. And I didn't die. I'm still here. Okay, ego. Good. Thank you. Senses? Well, the senses say, I thought that I would miss that second piece of apple pie, and to a certain extent, I did miss it. But when the teeth was gliding over, when the tongue was gliding over the front teeth, there was none of that mossy feeling. And I really dislike that mossy feeling on my teeth. And I didn't feel it. So that was good. I said, okay, thank you. Please sit down. Unconscious? What did you experience? And what does the unconscious say? Oh, for all of the above reasons, it really wasn't so bad as I thought it was going to be, as my habit would dictate. It wasn't so bad. So what have I done by experimenting with something easy and parenting the ego, senses, and unconscious mind? Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, they trust me more than they did mm-hmm. yesterday. They also trust the wisdom, the super conscious wisdom mm-hmm. of the conscience more now and less mm-hmm. threatened. That yes. helps me create another experiment and another experiment. Always easy enough that they'll be able to do it and experience something pleasant. So not only did I experience something pleasant by brushing my teeth, but my ego did also, and my senses did also. And the unconscious mind right. had a change in its software.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is very true. It also reminded me of, you know, when you get... when you're quiet, you call it the superconscious mind. I call it, you know, your guardian angels or your higher self or whatever. Same thing.
Same
but when you're quiet and you hear from them, I have found that if you follow the instructions, then you get more right. And that's you're explaining how that works, because the more you listen to your conscience or your higher self, the more you quiet all the other voices. So. That's right. Good. So I'm assuming that in your book, you go through all this stuff and you talk about, you know, all the, you know, the four voices and how to use your conscience to solve life challenges and exercises. Yes.
The whole second part of the book is experiments. In fact, the first chapter in that section about experiments is, where do you start when you don't know where to start?
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So like I said, you have expanded my knowledge of, you know, it's good to have intentions as you start. And my intention was to expand my knowledge of the conscience. And you have, you know, expanded my knowledge about the voices. Because I've always heard them. I have them. We all have them. and what I have learned in the past is try to distinguish which is which. Yeah. Right. So with your explanation a little bit, you can actually distinguish which is which, because you know what the ego is going to be saying. And if you know what the senses is going to be saying, and the unconscious mind is going to be, is just a recording of everything you've done in the past. So
that's right.
It's basically, you're right, just like a habit or so. And then you're able to distinguish, if you're quiet, you know, the correct response. So this is school for me. I love it.
And for me too, every day in every relationship. And so in the process, what we do is mm-hmm. we upgrade the software of our own mind. We upgrade our computer software all the time, don't we? Yes. Why don't we upgrade the software of our mind? We are carrying all sorts of faulty software, faulty concepts that we got from, gosh, so many different places, but certainly a lot of those celebrities and politicians and our mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and Elvis Presley. You see, we have all those things stored there. And what are they doing? Yeah. They're causing us pain. Yeah. Why do we keep carrying them with us? Why don't we update the mind?
Yes. Yeah, the mind is powerful. The mind is powerful. So yeah, so that's really great. So, all right, guys. Well, listen, Leonard, this was a very, very, great conversation. I know that my listeners and those watching on TV would definitely be inspired to go out and get your book. So tell us where we can pick up a copy of your book. What's your social media handles, if anyone wants to follow you? And and of course, you are the director of the American Meditation Institute. You can also talk about that.
Well, yes, I founded the American Meditation Institute in 1996, And our website is AmericanMeditation.org. AmericanMeditation.org. And right on the homepage, you can see our foundation course, which provides a full curriculum of everything that I've been discussing. There's also on the homepage a free link to a Sunday meditation every Sunday from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You get a free guided meditation and a free seat to discuss philosophical questions, just like Myrna and I have been discussing today. And then you get a free recording. So that's AmericanMeditation.org. The book, Your Conscience, is available everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any fine booksellers. There's also a special website, yourconscience.org.
Perfect. And how can they follow you in social media?
Well, right on our homepage are the links. So if you go to AmericanMeditation.org, you'll be able to follow us.
Find the links there. Okay, perfect. All right. Well, one of the things that I do for my listeners is that I put a transcript of our conversation on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. It will have links to your book. It will have links to your the AmericanMeditation.org and yourconscience.org on there, so that, you know, the listeners can just go to the homepage and click on it and connect with you. Love the free meditation. Yeah, you know, meditation is the way to go. And a lot of people, a lot of people are aware of it, but you know, when they get, you know, the free guided meditation, then it starts to build on the practice in that muscle. So, that's basically what I do. That's I'm practicing my muscle. Go ahead.
That's a blessing. It's a blessing to you, but it's also a blessing to every relationship that you have.
Yeah, it's true. I like that. I like what you said about it opens the space to reaction. And I've noticed that. I've definitely noticed that I don't react at all. You know, so, I mean, it's...
And that's freedom, isn't it, Myrna? That's freedom. That's real freedom.
Yeah.
The freedom to choose.
Mm-hmm. Your responses.
Not just to have these automatic, autopilot decisions made.
Responses, right. Yes. So that's great. All right, Leonard. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. I definitely appreciate it. Any last words before we wrap up?
Well, God bless you and all the wonderful work that you're doing.
Thank you. God bless you too. And good luck with your book and everything you do. All right, guys. Well, listen, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you, and thanks, Leonard, for being on the show. And until next time, namaste.